It will lead to your giving testimony. That word giving testimony in the original Greek is martyrion, where we get the word in English martyr. It will lead to your martyrdom, the highest, greatest witness of faith to Christ, whereby one is willing to shed their blood so as to not transgress God's laws or deny Him, preferring life after death than life in this world. It will lead to your giving testimony. The readings now and next week and last week have a lot to do with the end of times, because we're coming to the end of the liturgical year. A lot of death and gloom and warning. And of course, if you watch anything on YouTube, the videos it seems to be with the most views are all these incredibly salacious, honestly quite insane videos about, it's the end of the world, now it's happening, Christ will come any minute now, look at the wars, the plagues, the insurrections, and they'll cite Luke's gospel today and many other places. The problem is that when Luke wrote this gospel to the community he wrote it to, of pagans that had converted to Christianity when it was illegal under the Roman Empire, punishable by death, when they read this gospel for the first time, it applied to them then. So as Jesus says, do not follow them who tell you now it's time, now he's here, I am he, and worry and freak out and go down the rabbit hole of YouTube videos about the end of the world and the Democrats or the Republicans or Trump or Biden or whatever rabbit hole you go down. Stand fast, give testimony, persevere, and you will secure your lives. But this talk about shedding our blood for the faith honestly sounds kind of crazy for many Americans that are Catholic. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. If it's too cold or the Broncos are playing, we're willing to miss Mass. It is true that in Cuba and parts of certainly Saudi Arabia, where it's illegal to be anything but their version of Islam, and many other countries in the world, Christians literally risk their lives, imprisonment, or hardship from the government just to do what you did this morning. But not in our country. Too cold? We sleep in. We're willing to break the first and third commandment and remain in mortal sin because it's too cold, or because I might miss the Broncos game, even though we all have DVRs now. So where on earth would this idea come from, and inspiration, to literally want and prefer death and torture to miss Mass, or to have hardship for the faith? Well, it comes from a personal experience of a faith and relationship with Christ. Little side note, if you need to use the restroom, you can go down that door there in the kitchen. It comes from an encounter with Jesus, whereby we experience his profound and unconditional love, so that we are willing to do anything, not out of obligation, but out of gratitude. I mean, there was a time in my faith, going to Mass every Sunday, forced by my parents, where I could care less. I warmed the pew. I was there because my parents made me. And I was hoping this would end as soon as possible so I'd go back to my muñequitos, my cartoons, or go back to sleep or whatever. I know what it's like to come under obligation, and honestly, it's quite miserable and frustrating. But there was a time, because my parents persevered, as the scriptures say today, in taking me against my will, and persevered in going week after week, even sometimes against their own will, they would have preferred to stay home, that because of their perseverance, it led to an encounter that I had with Jesus. Each of us need to have that moment, however it comes. For me, it was a retreat, a weekend retreat before confirmation that my parents made me go to, and that I swore as soon as I was confirmed I'd never go back to church again, and then this happened. But when we persevere, we give God so many opportunities to break through the hardness of our hearts, our sin, our stubbornness, our ego, our own will, to see something greater, a purpose more than myself, a reason to die for that motivates us in how we live. That's why we come each week, to break through those barriers between us and God and the routine of oh, it's Sunday, I've got to go to Mass again. Hopefully it's not too cold, right? Father Eric won't preach too long, whatever it might be. But to be able to encounter by giving to God here on this altar our heartache, our sorrows, our joys, our blessings, our fears, whatever it may be, to pray from the heart, to open our hearts as the heart of Christ is open for us, his sacred heart, and pour that into our prayer. Let that be the font of prayer. Place it on this altar and allow the word of God to speak in response as we listen in word and in sacrament. God speaking a word of love, of truth, of confidence, of reassurance to us. Only when we allow our hearts to be vulnerable to him who was crucified for us as we are, sinners, can we then experience what it's like to be loved unconditionally and the joy and gratitude that wells up when that happens. Think about a newborn baby. A mom carries the child for 9 months at great cost to her body, her bladder, right, and her comfort. And then the pain of childbirth. And then they give birth to a child that for months won't let them sleep. All they do is mess up diapers, cry, projectile vomit, and they get nothing done in the house. And yet you are overwhelmed with love at the sight of this child. It's an unconditional love that the presence of the child fills you with gratitude for, even though you're exhausted and in pain and recovering and constantly tending to the baby's needs. That's how God's heart is toward us. That's just a 1/1,000,000th of a sense of God's heart toward us. And then maybe as a child you grew up and maybe hopefully you had a parent or grandparent that was loving and affectionate and gracious and kind. And you came home and all they wanted to do is stuff your face with everything you liked and hug and kiss you. And you just wanted to help. You were so grateful. You were so happy. Grandma, how can I help? Mom, what can I do around the house? Let me help you do the dishes. I'm going to cook for you. This is that interaction that we experience in our lives, hopefully on very small levels, that speak to what religion's all about in our relationship with Jesus. Lord, you have done so much for me. What can I do to serve you? When we come under obligation, the rules and laws of the church and the scriptures are a burden. They're unbearable. They're unreasonable. And we come up with a million reasons why we can't agree with it. But when we come in response to a God loving us in our sin, as we are, unconditionally, all of a sudden now the teachings of the church and scripture are a pathway to freedom. It's God telling us, oh, you're grateful. You want to follow me? Do this and you'll be happy. Do this and you'll find purpose. Follow me. Now the discovery of the teachings of the church is a source of joy and freedom. Tell me how I can live free and happy and holy. Tell me, Jesus, how your promise can be realized in me. The promise that I have come so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. That I have come so that you might have life and have it to the full. Lord, I want that life. I need that life. Nothing is more important to me. Show me how. I've tried my own ways and it hasn't worked. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. And so, yes, in this country, you're likely not going to get shot when you walk out of Mass because you attended Mass, or imprisoned or tortured for it. You would be in Saudi Arabia, and Vietnam, and North Korea, and China if you go to the actual Catholic churches loyal to Rome, or Afghanistan, etc. But there's a daily white martyrdom that the circumstances of our lives in this country call us to. We may not be shedding our blood, but when that baby cries all night and you respond every time in love and patience and gentleness, when your child is sick and you're constantly tending to them, or your spouse, or you're doing the dishes again and the laundry again and sweeping and mopping again, or to the same job that you may not find very fulfilling again, but you do it with purpose for the sake of love of God, moving along the progression of our country and benefiting society, and we do it with joy and gratitude for the opportunity, there is a white martyrdom. There's a perfection, a purification that happens in our hearts, in the little day-to-day things. That was St. Teresa of Lisieux here on my right. That was her theology. We would do little things with great love. She would mop the floor, Jesus, I love you. You know, and she would tell him, I hate this, but I love you, and so I'm going to do it happily. She would wash her clothes by hand next to a sister who would do the same, and they'd use this lye soap that burned your eyes and your skin. And as the sister would splash it all over her face, she'd lean in, Jesus, I love you. And when they had the little bit of time to socialize with other sisters in the convent each day, she would always sit next to the grumpiest, meanest, nastiest nun she could find and just smile. "Jesus, I love you." In these little sacrifices, she found her perfect way. She knew that she wasn't going to be a great missionary that she wanted to be, a great preacher, a great evangelist, a martyr. But she knew that what mattered most was love. And if I could do the little things God has given me each day to do with great love, therein is my place in the church. In the heart of the church, she said, "I will be love." She realized that she didn't have to do something extraordinary or heroic, because it takes extraordinary and heroic love just to do the day-to-day, every day, because it needs to get done. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. And so maybe you're doing that already, God granted, and there are saints among us. But you feel frustrated because you give and you give, and the persons you give to, beside Jesus, don't respond. They don't reciprocate. The good news in the first reading today is that God tells us there will be justice. The day is coming when the proud and evildoers will be like stubble set in the fire. But for you who fear my name, there will arise the Son of Justice with its healing rays. The Lord promises us who persevere and who have grown tired and weary by our efforts that we will not be outdone, that justice will be given, that those who do not work now and still eat will eventually not eat in the kingdom of God, as Paul tells the Thessalonians. It was problematic in Paul's time, and it still happens today, where there are people who will come to Mass or come to the community as they did in Paul's time, and all they do is complain, sow division, and do literally nothing to help anyone. Paul tells them, if they will not work, then they will not eat. Stop acting like busybodies and follow my example. He sets boundaries. We have to do that. I do that. Because there are always going to be people in our lives that they only know how to take and will never give. And it's not the Christian thing, and it's not martyrdom to let someone walk over you, to abuse you in some way, to constantly take advantage of you. Some are called to a heroic form of charity, and God bless them for that. But for the average person, we have to set boundaries. It's not the Christian thing to allow our spouse to constantly abuse us in one way or another, or someone to constantly take advantage of us, or be unfaithful to us, or to be in a toxic relationship. That's not following the example of Christ. He set boundaries. He said no. He made it clear how far a person can go and how they can't, for love of himself, as we must do. But beyond healthy boundaries, we're called to a heroic love in the day-to-day. And today's scriptures remind us that ultimately our salvation will be had through perseverance by giving testimony through service. And so many of you do. So many more of you can. How do we know we've encountered Christ's love? Well, we respond by happily helping in the parish, by happily helping in our home, by happily helping in our community. And there are many of you here who do that. None of these people getting paid to set up the altar and turn on the lights and the heater, which I forgot to do early, sorry. They're not getting paid to do that, but they do it happily in response to a God that they have experienced has loved them as they are. That is the fuel of faith, gratitude. And that's what we culminate with every Sunday, every Eucharist. The word Eucharist comes from the Greek Eucharistia, which literally means thanksgiving. Soon we'll be celebrating that once a year as Americans. But as Catholics, we celebrate it every day. Because every day we wake up realizing every breath, every heartbeat, every opportunity presented is an act of God loving us and keeping us in his love. And all I can do is give thanks by giving back. Because happiness is found through giving testimony by our service, but only when we've experienced a God who loves us just as we are. Let him love you now. Let him speak to your hearts now. And let it change you as it changed me.